everyone, and welcome to the 13 Club podcast. Just a little introductory note for some of our older episodes is that we used to be the Pretty Spooky podcast, but changed it due to similarity issues with another podcast. You do not need to start with episode one. You can always start with one of our newer episodes, but we do appreciate you going through the old ones as well.
Hello, my name is Mira May.
And I'm Spectre.
And we are here for the podcast, Pretty Spooky.
Yep, we're here for bonus episode, Postmortem, and this is Postmortem from episode 3.
Yes. Awesome. So, would you like to discuss anything offhand, or should I just jump right in?
I feel like since most of what we have to talk about is, like, related to our previous topics, this is just a cute little, like, creepy little thing that cropped up on the internet. Creepy little thing that cropped up on the internet.
It creeped up?
Yeah, it cropped up. And I know that a lot of, like, scary people have already covered it, but I found it on Twitter originally. And it's this magazine called O Comely Magazine. And from what I understand about
What is it called?
O Comely, like C-O-M-E-L-Y magazine.
Okay.
So they're a British publication, and what they do is they just basically create a magazine around a theme. And So this, I don't know how often they publish, but this particular issue's theme was the friends we had as kids. And it included, like, actual people friends, animal friends, and then most suspiciously imaginary friends. And so there was this one particular thing where actress Natalie Morales, I guess she's from Parks and Rec, but forgive me, I don't remember who she was on that.
I have not seen much Parks and Rec, so I'm not going to be of much help here.
I feel like I'm a jerk because I'm a huge fan, but I don't remember exactly who she was in Parks and Rec, so forgive me, everybody, but she was the one who made this really blow up, and I have already retweeted it on the Ominous Glitch Twitter, which is ominous_glitch. So if you want to see the drawing and you want to see a picture of the little girl, so Natalie Morales, that's what I said her name was, right?
Yes.
I think so. I was like, if I got her name, like, totally wrong the second time, that would be really stupid. Anyway, she took a picture of the magazine, and she said, Ruby, you have a ghost. This is straight up terrifying. And it says, meet our imaginary friends. We asked some of our favorite kids to draw their make-believe pals. And it says, Ruby, age 3. This is my imaginary mom, grateful. Her yellow eyelashes mean she can see in the dark. She only comes to see me at nighttime. It scares me sometimes, but I always want her to come back. She has 2 babies in her belly. She's 14, but can never have a birthday. So.
I think that's absolutely a ghost. Holy shit.
So, like, they followed up after Natalie Morales, like, her tweet went viral, basically, and then
clearly
O Comely Magazine responded with a little video interview with Ruby, and that's also retweeted on ominous_glitch if you want to go watch it. And the woman, I don't know if it's her mother or what, but she asks her, what does grateful look like? And this is off topic, but somebody mentioned, like, I guess not off topic, but somebody, this is a sidebar. Somebody mentioned that grateful was, like, a puritanical name.
Yeah, it's very, like, remembrance and chastity. Mm-hmm. Well, chastity sounds kind of like an 80s name to me, but, like, those other names.
I think that one made a resurgence, but, like, and I feel like sometimes you still sometimes meet people named Chastity, I feel like. But
you're totally right.
She asks, what does grateful look like? It says black hair, blue eyes, brown skin. And she asked her, can only you see her, or can other people see her? And she said, only I can see her. She comes at night. She lights up in the dark. She wants to be a person, but she can't. She's 14 years old, but she can't have a birthday because she's invisible.
Still kind of sounds like a ghost to me.
And then when she says, like, one of the things she says in the video is she comes to me at night and she goes, Ruby.
Ruby! Oh, my God. Man, I, like, and maybe this is a story best served for, like, a full episode or a different postmortem or something else, but I definitely had some weird shit like that that happened when I was a kid. That
you've like, mentioned no one it to me
ever
before.
Believed.
I remember like, that night that we were like we were like two bottles of wine in, and then yes. this is so representative of us as friends. We were like two bottles of wine in. We're like sitting back when I lived with my parents. We're like sitting on the couch in their basement, and we're like binging videos that are like internet mysteries, mostly top 15s, but some other stuff in that vein.
Definitely some Nightmare Expo.
And you just like we started sharing like our paranormal experience stuff, mm-hmm. and you told me about some of the stuff, and I think we definitely should save that. We should save like have an episode about our paranormal experiences.
Yes, for sure, absolutely. That would be so good.
Yep.
But yeah, that this whole like thing reminds me so much of that. Like, this definitely sounds like a fucking ghost. This little girl, like, Ruby is, like, handling it so well.
Well, that's how kids are, though, right? They just adapt to whatever is going on. They're so resilient, but it just doesn't seem weird to them.
Did you have an imaginary friend when you were a kid?
Yeah, but nothing weird. Like, it was just I was lonely, and I was like...
Yeah.
At one point, I was like a wannabe obsessed with horses girl, and I, like, pretended my bike was a horse.
Oh, that's cute, though.
So I could be a princess.
That's adorable. No, like, okay, this is a total sidebar, and I apologize in advance, but my, God, like, hearing stories like that make me wish I had a creepy imaginary friend, but, like, mine was, like, because I, like, grew up with the Olsen twins.
Oh, yeah.
We're, like, totally. the hot thing. Mm-hmm. So I always wanted to have a twin. Mm-hmm. So my imaginary friend was my twin. Mm-hmm. But she was also, like, my older sister because I really wanted to have, like, an older person to look up to. So that kind of doesn't make any sense. But I had this older twin sister, and her name was Lizzie.
Ooh.
She had blonde hair, and she wore tie-dye all the time because she was very cool.
Very Clarissa explains it all.
I know. My God. I'm such a product of the 90s. But yeah, that was my imaginary friend. It was like my simultaneously older and somehow twin sister, Lizzie.
Yep, that seems normal for a kid.
I know. Not my. Her eyelashes are yellow, and that means she can see in the dark.
Yeah.
And I did see it when you retweeted. I didn't see the follow-up, but I saw what you put on the Twitter account, and like... She's drawn a picture of it, like a little like crayon. She's drawn what it looks like, and it still looks terrifying.
And somebody commented on it, and they were like, "If you go and you look at the picture, which is on the Twitter, it just says somebody commented, and they were like, "Is she laughing or like screaming? Because you can only see half of the girl's face, and she's making like." This face.
Oh, the little girl?
Yeah, and it could be, like, a super intense smile or, like, kind of a scary thing. It's hard to tell.
I didn't even notice that, but I'll have to go back and look.
I read all the comments, gosh. That's why, because I have time.
It seems like they're really, I mean, it could be one of those things that's absolutely 100% coincidence, but it seems like there is such a narrative there of, like, young woman who lived several hundred years ago and who like maybe died in childbirth or something.
What the
like,
fuck kind of 3-year-old comes up with the name Grateful?
Somebody whose family says Grateful a lot? I don't know. I mean, like, certainly not as a name.
Right, that's what I'm
saying.
Unless
they're like super churchy, if they're like really churchy or something, but like still, that seems a bit of a stretch.
I don't know. But anyway, that was exciting. Not enough for like a whole episode segment, so I just wanted to like throw that in there.
No, that's good. And speaking of things that like might be totally a coincidence, maybe not really anything, but maybe. So I did the slightest bit, like the tiniest bit of research into David Paulides, who I mentioned in our last episode, talking about the Stairs in the Woods creepypastas.
Mm-hmm.
I brought it up because a lot of people at the time, particularly in the earliest episodes of the creepypasta in the comments, were talking about how much what was being written in the story reminded them of research and theories put forward by David Paulides, kind of asking, like, is it based on that? Do you think it has anything to do with this? Given that it was No Sleep, and, you know, in No Sleep you're supposed to pretend, like...
Everything is real,
rather than saying, are your stories based on this? It was more like, do you think there's any connection between what you've been experiencing and this person's research? So I just dug, like, I just scratched the surface a little bit more on who this guy is. I know I mentioned it, like, a sentence or two in the last episode, so I just wanted to talk about it a little bit. He is a... this is taken directly from Wikipedia, so bear with me. David Politas is a cryptozoologist, investigator, and writer known primarily for his work, including two self-published books dedicated to proving the reality of the cryptid known as Bigfoot, and for his series of self-published books titled Missing 411, in which he speculates about the disappearance of people in national parks and elsewhere. He attributes mysterious mysterious unspecified cases to these disappearances, while other people have analyzed his data and concluded that statistically these disappearances are not mysterious in any way. So, specifically looking at his like Missing 411 series, he has like six, I think, Missing 411 books. And as he, I guess, expanded his research into like strange disappearances and stuff, he started to break out into like other countries. Basically, kind of his bio, and this is his bio from the Coast to Coast AM radio show, if anybody else is familiar with that. David Politas holds 2 degrees from the University of San Francisco, has a professional background that includes 20 years in law enforcement and senior executive positions in the technology sector. Has retired twice and is now the director of the Can-Am Missing Project. In 2004, he formed the North America Bigfoot Search. The acronym for this is NABS.
Nab that Bigfoot.
Exactly. I was going to make that exact same joke, but it was funnier when you said it.
Sorry.
No, I'm glad you did. Where his investigative and analytical experiences, a little bit more about Bigfoot. In 2009, David was conducting research on a topic in a national park and learned from an off-duty national park ranger that they had seen many people disappear in the parks with significant efforts and press at the beginning. The searches usually stopped after a week with little or no follow-up and no additional press coverage. The ranger stated that people disappeared in areas that were unusual and many were never found. The information received from the ranger evolved into the formation of a research team headed by Mr. Politas and the publication of 6 books about unusual disappearances that have matching associated profile points. David has been on countless radio and television shows, executive producer for Missing 411 The Movie, a documentary about his books, which apparently came out in early 2017. So it just came out a couple years ago. I had not heard of this documentary, but I'm like somewhat curious into looking it up. And I looked at an article from, like, a recent episode of Coast to Coast that he was on, just to see, like, what kind of stuff that he's looking into now. So he, like, in a recent episode of this radio show, he talked about instances where skiers have inexplicably gone missing, both, like, recent cases and in the past. One that he focused on was that of 21-year-old Grant Cox. I guess recent, he must mean he recently started looking into it, because this happened in 1947. But 21-year-old Grant Cox was just released from the military in 1947. He went skiing at Sugar Bowl Ski Lodge in California and vanished without a trace. A second search was done after the snow melted, and there was no sign of his ski poles or any of his equipment that had all also disappeared. In 1988, in Rocky Mountain National Park, 27-year-old German tourist Rudy Motor also went missing while skiing. As a soldier, he'd received advanced mountaineering and high-altitude training in the German military. A search found his food cave and a pack, but no fresh tracks. The next summer, they did another search, which Politas, I guess, was involved in, but the team found no trace, although they claimed to have heard 1942 German sonar-type sounds near one of the mountains.
Oh my god, that's crazy.
Yeah. Strange disappearances strike an inordinate number of those with German heritage, he cited, including a group of physicists who were visiting the U.S. Recent cases of skiers disappearing include Toronto Fire Captain Danny Filipitas. I'm saying that right. Who vanished earlier this year, which I believe this was... 2018, so vanished earlier this year, while skiing at Whiteface Mountain in New York. He resurfaced in Sacramento with no memory of his whereabouts from February 7th to the 13th. German businessman Karl Haub disappeared last month while skiing on the Matterhorn. He was a billionaire. Quote, you know, they threw every resource in the book trying to find him, and they didn't. Unquote. Wow. So, he's still out there. David Paulides is looking into weird, mysterious disappearances in national parks and wilderness areas. I mentioned a minute ago that he's got 6 books about the topic, and they are, like, kind of spread out. There is one book that focuses on disappearances in the western United States, one on the eastern United States, one titled North America and Beyond, the next 3, I'm not sure exactly what the topic of them are, but one of them is called Devils in the Details, one is called A Sobering Coincidence, and the final book is called Off the Grid. Again, there's a documentary that came out a couple years ago now, or I guess last year, if it was in 2017. So that's something that if you are interested in this, maybe worth checking out. So that is my brief coverage on David Paulides and the missing 411 research.
That is a heavy topic. That's crazy.
I think, like, weird, mysterious disappearances are really interesting to me.
They are.
I feel like it's kind of almost a no-brainer to say that.
Yeah, because it's like, this is so, like, I was literally going to say, yeah, because it's just like, where the fuck did they go?
Exactly. I mean, if you have to ask, yeah, no, I mean, like, I don't know. I think it's because I mentioned this last episode, but I grew up in a really rural part of North Carolina. It's very, like, mountainy and woodsy, and I spent a lot of time playing in the woods as a kid, and I could easily imagine, like, as a kid out playing in the woods, I would imagine I'm lost, and, like, I would have, this is so fucked up now that I'm saying it out loud, but, like, I would have these pretend scenarios where I'm like, all right, you're living out in the woods now, like, you gotta try and survive.
And because I was born in Northern California, but I did live for 3 years in Nederland, Colorado, which is, like, that's another topic I definitely want to cover at some point, because there's some really interesting stuff about Nederland, Colorado, and a bunch of murders, and the grandpa in a tough shed, all of that stuff I will cover. but when I was living there, I used to go out in the woods and play all the time, and I used to think the same thing.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I was like, all right, you've done it. Like, play pretend, like, you're lost forever, now how are you gonna survive?
Yeah.
But, like, that's a thing that really happens, and I guess it must happen more than you'd expect. I think one of the other things, briefly, I just closed my window, so I don't have it open anymore, but I think one of the things he had talked about in a thing from 2016 was the disappearance of people that had, like, advanced location technology on their person, like, GPS style locating junk, and they went missing, and it's like one of the only cases in history, and history's not that old, I guess, relatively when we're talking about technology, but, like, one of the only cases of people that had this kind of technology that went missing, and, like, zero trace of them was ever found, period, ever.
Wow.
And how, like, bizarre it is that I don't know, it's a bit of, it's a combination of the idea of, like, it's so much like that, you know, we have so much technology and we've advanced so much, but there are some things that we still can't fucking figure out.
Right.
And instead of it being this, like, thing, like, oh, we just don't understand how this works, it's not like there's this principle of a thing that we don't understand. It's, like, the fact that people can just up and vanish still
today,
even with everything that we've got. Like, that's so fascinating to me. Like, what does that mean? Where are people going? What's happening to them?
Just stay home. Just do what I do and stay home.
It's certainly tempting, but it has less to do with worry about being lost and more about my absolute lack of patience for a lot of people.
So, yeah. Yeah, same.
I'm a big jerk.
Same. So I just wanted to briefly, like, check in since, like, my article about Lake Lanier last time was written in 2015, so I checked in and I looked up to see what's been going on since then, and I found, like, a couple just short articles, and one of them's quite recent, but this is from ajc.com, mm-hmm. and it says, the first 6 months of 2017 saw 6 boating fatalities, while 15 people died during the first half of last year, according to statistics provided by the Georgia Department of Natural Resources.
Man, things are looking up.
Yeah, they like, and it's like the number of drownings is down 2 from 29 in the first half of 2016 to 21 so far this year, the DNR said. We'd like to see the lower number of boating incidents and drownings so far this year, but our work isn't done until those numbers are zero, said Mark McKinnon, a spokesman for the Law Enforcement Division of the DNR.
Oh, yeah, boy.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
I mean, zero, okay, let's be real. Like, zero would be nice, but even if this wasn't, like, a fucking ghost town, like, cursed, haunted lake, mm-hmm. like, you still can't account for people's, like, fucking stupidity.
Like, and then I was on Twitter, and I searched Lake Lanier, and there are so many locals that are like, why the fuck would you ever go there? Stay away from there. Oh, my God.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. I would love to interview somebody that is a local and just be like, we could, please because tell me.
I retweeted some of the tweets from that, and ooh. There are a lot of people. We could theoretically just ask them about it.
I would be super into that. Like, maybe that is something we should do for... I don't know, another postmortem? Post-postmortem?
Yeah, maybe.
Do a brief Twitter Q&A.
Special Lake Lanier coverage.
Yeah, because I feel like the research you did was fantastic, and you had some really great cases, but I feel like talking to somebody that lives there, they would probably have, like, and, you know, they would know even more.
Right. I've like never been there. I don't know.
I don't know.
So if you're listening to this. We need an inside man or woman.
If you are from Georgia, if you are anywhere around Lake Lanier and you're listening to this, let us know. Talk to us about
it. What the fuck is up with that place? So then I, like, searched 2018, because that was from, like, 2017. Mm-hmm. And it said, and this is from May 29th of this year. So, you know, just
like a few days ago?
Right. And it says, teen is third drowning death at Georgia Lake in 2018. Beaufort, Georgia authorities in Georgia... say that teen who jumped off a dock on the lake has drowned. Hall County Sheriff's spokesman Stephen Wilbanks tells news outlets that the victim in Sunday night's drowning was identified as 19-year-old Stephen Frederick of Peachtree Corners. Wilbanks said no foul play is suspected at this time. Brackett says responders were told that Frederick jumped off the second story of a dock on Lake Lanier and hadn't resurfaced. Hall County Fire Services Marine Rescue recovered his body after around an hour of dive operations in 19 feet of water. The sheriff's office is investigation. It literally says, the sheriff's office is investigation.
I think that might be high journalism.
Yeah, it's from the Seattle Times. Deal with it, Seattle. Like, fix this shit. But anyway, Georgia Department of Natural Resources spokesman Mark McKinnon, there he is again, says Frederick's death is the third drowning at Lake Lanier this year.
Well, I guess 3 is better than... How many were there in 2017?
I don't know, because I have no memory at all of anything. It was 21.
21, all right.
As of July of 2017, 21. So we're going down.
Yeah, almost to zero.
Yeah.
This does sound like it could have been one of the, like, stupidity ones, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, but it does.
Okay. Well, you know, that maybe he got pulled in by the ghost hands under the lake.
Could be. But like, I'm serious. Could be.
Yeah, no.
So, I think, I don't know. Is there anything else you want to mention? The Suspiria trailer, maybe?
Yes, I do. I do. I want to really briefly mention the Suspiria trailer. This is, like, a topic for a totally different episode. I could talk for a whole episode about Suspiria in general. Many of you may know, the trailer for the new Suspiria movie, the remake, I should say. It's not a new movie. It's a remake. Although, I guess that's still technically a new movie. I'm thinking too hard about it. The Suspiria remake's first trailer came out on Monday of this week. It had come out unofficially to, like, a test audience for a movie convention of some kind, like, a month ago. And supposedly test audiences, like, supposedly, like, one dude wrote an article that said this, but supposedly, like, audiences who viewed it were, like, so disturbed that they, like, walked out of the theater.
I saw that headline as well.
Yeah, and, like, you know, it's a good trailer. I think it's a really good trailer, and I think what they're showing me is really good, and I'm very interested. Do I think it's walk out of the screening of a trailer scary? Like, no. But I'm super impressed with it. I am, like, a diehard fan of the original Suspiria movie. It is probably my favorite horror movie and probably one of my top films of all time. I love everything about it. And like I said, I could talk for an entire episode about it, but I'm not gonna because Spectre has never seen it.
Right.
But
I honestly refuse to even watch the trailer before I've seen the original. So
I think that's wise. I think you should go into it with kind of a clean palate. The trailer is so different from the original, but not in a way that I'm worried about. Like, the few images that they released, I was like, ugh, I don't know. There's very much a certain look and feel associated with the original Suspiria, and it's the cinematography, it's the score, it's the way that film even, like, looked in the 70s, just that, like, thing that comes out of foreign movies from a different time. Like, everything about it, like, is such this perfect little package of... I think I described it to you as a fever dream of a horror movie.
You
like,
did, and a lot of people describe it as an art film.
It is!
Italian art house horror is what it's been called. That and all of the other, like, Argento films. But.
It totally is. That's not wrong at all. But it's one of those things where, like, they give you a lot of... There's, like, color and sound and imagery, and it's all hitting you, and the plot is there, but they don't give you very much of it. You know, some people think it's totally nonsense, and other people, like myself, think that they just give you enough of a few things to kind of, like, let you fill in the rest yourself, and that's where a lot of the dread and suspense in the story comes from, is you, you know, kind of putting your own whatever into it. But this movie, I think, based on the trailer, is going to actually work at fleshing out those plot elements, which I'm not necessarily against. I think there's a lot of really cool ideas to work with, and they may choose to do so in a way that I'm excited about. The look and the sound design are awesome, albeit very different from the original film. I think they have made some really cool casting choices.
Isn't my girl Tilda in this?
Yes, she is in it. Tilda Swinton is in it.
Also, isn't the star of 50 Shades of Grey in this?
Oh boy, she's the main character. And she's, like, I don't want to sound like a jerk, but, like, she's kind of, like, my biggest hesitation about this movie. Not because of 50 Shades of Grey, not because of anything to do with her acting chops, but because, and maybe this is the, like, cosplayer in me, but she looks like she's wearing a fucking bad wig. And or something.
I saw, like, a screenshot of it, and I thought the same thing.
Yeah, like, her hair, or, like, her hairline, or her forehead, or something looks off. And I was talking to my coworker about it when the first, like, images were released, because he knows what a big fan I am. And I was saying that I thought she looked just, like, weird. And we were just talking about how, you know, how weird it is when Hollywood is able to take an otherwise, like, a normal to attractive looking, like, anywhere on the scale of normal to attractive looking person, and make them just look kind of fucked up and wrong, and that's definitely what they've done here.
This is not horror related, but I will always, always go back to this, but Chris Hemsworth in the first Thor film looks busted to me because of his bleached eyebrows.
I never noticed.
He has bleached eyebrows, and his hair is fucking yellow.
It is
horrible. And he's, like, by, you know, like, I feel like there's a very few people that would argue with me. Chris Hemsworth is a fucking hot dude. And they make him look busted. How? But they did it.
They made some choices, you know, and they have to live with those choices because they're committed to film. I think, I don't know, I feel like there's one thing, and this is not, like, a spoiler, but, like, they show you a lot of flashes of things in the trailer, and only one of them did I happen to catch that looks like it's directly a reference to something.
Don't get scared. There's a cat right behind you.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. She's real cute.
She's pretty adorable, but yeah. Don't let her hear you say that. She's already got a pretty big head, because I tell her what a princess she is all the time.
Mm-hmm. That's fair.
But there's maggots. There's a scene with some maggots, mm-hmm. and there's a scene in the original movie where maggots play an important part.
God, so I need to see this movie.
I'm hoping that, I don't know, like, I really did, honestly, go into hearing the Suspiria remake as, like, a big hater, like, a big, fat old hater. Like, that was
That's me. How I was about Old Boy, and it sucked, so, you know, there you go.
You know, a lot of things have happened that I think have justified having a hater's response. Right. So I don't feel bad for reacting that way, but I do feel cautiously very excited about Suspiria. And you, Spectre requested that I show you guys my shirt. I actually, in October or November of last year, went to see Goblin live, and I got this t-shirt at the concert, and
it's a red shirt. We will post a picture on the Instagram and Twitter, just in case you're an audio-only listener.
Yes, I'll have to take a selfie. But it is a picture of Susie from Suspiria with the noose on her forehead. It is amazing. The second I saw this, I was I'm not, like, in a huge rush to get more tattoos right now, because I'm, like, so happy with the one that I have. But I saw this, and I was like, I need this as a fucking tattoo. It's amazing. I am cautiously excited. If you are excited, too, tweet at us. If you're not excited, tweet at us and tell us why. I would love, honestly, legitimately love to have a discussion with anyone that will talk to me about Suspiria, because I am so excited about it.
Yeah, definitely. Please talk to us. We're very lonely.
Yeah, we're not good at socializing with other people, so we need friends.
Yeah, and now we live far away from each other, so please talk to us.
I know.
All right.
I think that's going to wrap it up for the postmortem.
Yep, and you can look forward to episode 3 coming out the following Monday.
You mean 4?
God, 4, damn it. I don't know what episode day it is.
Episode 4!
Episode 4! Okay, episode 4 will be out this coming Monday.
Yep. Thank you, guys. See ya!
Bye!